Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makris Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the end of our previous shiur, the end of Daf Yud Aleph Omid Beis, we concluded with a question. The question involved the attempt to parallel a Machlokes Amoroyim with a Machlokes Tanoyim. The Gemara had said, Lemo Beplukta de Rebelozer Rebbe Yeshua Komifligi. In order to get into today's discussion, the answer of the Gemara, it's necessary to recap a little bit of what was mentioned earlier. First of all, there is a halacha that we've learned already, that if a rotseach b'shogeg, an inadvertent murderer, someone who killed inadvertently, received a verdict to go into exile to one of the cities of refuge, and after the verdict, the Kohen Gadol died, the defendant or the murderer, the rotseach, does not have to go anymore to the Ir Miklat. The din is treated as we would treat a case of someone who was already in an Ir Miklat and the Kohen Gadol died. He is freed from going into exile to the city of refuge. The sugi at the end of Yud Aleph Amud Beis dealt with a case where there was a Gemar din, and then it was determined that the Kohen Gadol was a non-Kohen. He was a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. What happens as a result of that taking place? So there was a machlokes, Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, one claiming that it's like dying, and as such, he doesn't have to go to Golos. According to the other opinion, it was botla kahuna, was the expression the Gemara used, which would mean that it's shown that retroactively there was no Kohen Gadol at the point of Gemar Din. And in such a case, we know that if a Gemar Din is reached and there is no Kohen Gadol, so the person will never be able to leave the city of refuge. That having been said, that case was a Machlokes Amoroyim, the Gemara attempted to parallel it to a Machlokes Tanoyim concerning a case of a Kohen who was serving as a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash for many years, offering korbanos, and one day it's discovered that Kohen that was serving as a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash was shown to be a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Rabbi Lazar said that all of the korbanos that he ever offered are retroactively posel, because sacrifices offered by a non-Kohen are not legitimate. So he was a non-Kohen insofar as the fact that he was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, or is, we know, a Cholo. And Rabbi Yeshua says that from up till this point, that which he was offering is considered kosher. Beyond this point, he would be, of course, unacceptable. So we saw that Rabbi Yeshua was machshir up to this point. Now, if you carry this parallel, if you do what the Gemara tried to do, you would come out saying that the opinion in the Machlokas Amoroyim with the Rotzech B'Shogeg that says Mesa Kehuna, that determining him as a non-Kohen, it's as if he died, that would be parallel to Rabbi Yeshua that says that everything he did till now was okay, and from this point on it's no good. Nothing to do with any retroactive revoking. On the other hand, the Mandarman says Botla, the Amora that would say Botla Kun in the case of the Kohen Gadol that was shown to be a non-Kohen, and we said that meant retroactively it was a Gemar Din without a Kohen Gadol. So he would seem to parallel Rabbi Lezer that says that all the korbanos that he offered till this point are retroactively no good. The Gemara now at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph says, Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer kule amo lo pligi. As far as the Tana Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, all the Amoroyim would agree that Rabbi Eliezer would pasul, if he was willing to pasul the korbonos retroactively, then all the more so he would hold that the Kohen Gadol, who was shown to be a Ben Grusha Machutza, is a case of retroactively there was no Kohen Gadol. So that the Amora that wants to machshir in the case of the Kohen Gadol, saying that Meisakuna, he will acknowledge that his opinion could not fit into the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara continues, Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. The machlokas amoroyim of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman will be within the Tana, within the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua that was machshir, that gave the okay to the korbanos. Man de Omar Mesa, the Amora that said Mesa, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, Mesa Kahuna, that it's as if he died right now. In other words, it's a Gemar Din with a Kohen Gadol at the point that happens afterwards that he's found to be a non-legitimate Kohen. Okay, it's from this point onwards. And it's considered as if he died right now. That's Rabbi Yeshua. That would parallel Rabbi Yeshua, who says that the Korbanos that were offered till now were okay. And just from this point onwards, no good. Uman Domar Botla, the Amora, in the case of the Rotzech B'Shogeg that says that the Kohen Gadol is shown to be retroactively no good, and hence it's a Gemar Din without a Kohen Gadol, Adkan Lokum Rabbi Yeshua Hossam, he will tell you that up till this point Rabbi Yeshua said his leniency in the case of the Korbanos where he's Machshir, where he allows the Korbanos, because there's a special provision in the psukim. The Torah itself makes a special provision for that case. Dichtiv, Borech Hashem Chelo Ufoyal Yodov Tirtzeh. And from this pasuk, you see the word chelo. It's darshened afilu chalolim shebo. Even the chalolim, even those that are shown to be non-kohanim, if they offered korbanos, they are deemed acceptable. That's poel yodov tirtzeh. Tirtzeh meaning acceptable. Aval hocha, however, in the case of the rotzeach b'shogeg, where the issue is not the working of the kohen, but the kohen himself, afilu Rabbi Yeshua moideh, even Rabbi Yeshua will acknowledge that the Gemar Din is considered like a Gemar Din of no Kohen Gadol, and even Rabbi Yeshua would acknowledge and agree with me, says this opinion, that Botla Kahuna. Nigmar Dino V'chule. Before we continue, the topic heading on the side is something we want to take note of. Nose To Yois Yoyov. Yoyov was a general in the army of David HaMelech. But at the end of David HaMelech's life, Yoav abandoned ship, so to speak, and went with Adoniyah, David HaMelech's son, who tried to set up his own monarchy, we can say a form of rebellion, and Yoav went off with him. So Toyos Yoav, and when it was found that Yoav abandoned David, so he was guilty of a form of Moreid B'Malchus, and hence he was supposed to be killed. And he ran to the Mizbeach, thinking that he could save himself by clutching to the corners of the Mizbeach. So Yoav made a couple of mistakes. These are featured in the Gemara. Toyos Yoav Shechashav Linotzeh Al Yedei Achizo B'Mizbeach. The mistake of Yoav, that he thought he would save himself by clutching the Mizbeach, Bizman Shehichlit Lolechesim Adoniel. This is at the time that he determined, or he decided to go off with Adoniel, and then David wanted to have him executed. Shlomo wanted to have him executed, and he ran to the Mizbeach to save himself. And number two, Toyos Shel Soro Shel Romi. We will see the Gemara features the mistake made by the angel in charge of Rome. Rome meaning the descendants of Esav, Edom, Machus Romi, who in the end of days is going to attempt to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The Soro Shel Romi is an angel who represents the nations that succeeded Rome, Machus Edom. This is a Gemara that features a type of a scenario in the end of days. So let's now turn to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shtei Toyos Ta Yoyav Ba'isa Shah. when Yoav was running to save himself, he made two mistakes. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vayonos Yoav el Oil Hashem, vayachzeik bekarnois hamizbeach." He ran to the Beis Hamikdash and he grabbed the corners of the altar. Ta'a, one mistake is she'eno koilet elagagoi, for who tofas bekar noisov. He didn't realize that it's only this idea of the mizbeach saving someone from being taken away by the court to be executed. There is such a thing there that the mizbeach saves, but that's if someone is on top of the mizbeach doing the avoda. In other words, in the middle of the avoda, he is not taken away to be killed by the court. The drosha that accompanies this is the pasuk says, "Me'im mizbechiti kochenu lamus," that from the mizbeach a person can be taken away to be executed, and the inference is from that pasuk that means "Me'im mizbechi velo me'al mizbechi." Rashi features this particular drosha, and not from on top of the mizbeach. Namely, if someone's clinging to the side of the mizbeach, then he can be taken away, but not if he's on top of the mizbeach. And Yoav made a mistake thinking that even holding the corners of the mizbeach is sufficient. Number two, continuing in the Gemara, Ta she'enu koleit elo mizbeach beis olamim, v'u tofas mizbeach shel Shiloh. And the time we inaccurately said above, a couple of lines before we inaccurately mentioned the Beis Hamikdash, for greater accuracy we should pay attention to what the Gemara is saying here, that Yoav grabbed the Mizbeach when it was really in Shiloh. That's the period of time before the Beis Hamikdash was built by Shlomo. So he grabbed the Mizbeach while it was located in the Mishkan in Shiloh. And the whole concept of the Mizbeach saving is only the Mizbeach of the Beis Alomim of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Abaye Omer, Beho Nami Mita To, and the following he also erred. To She'eno Koilet Elokoyin V'Avodah B'Yado, V'Hu Zor Hoya. He also didn't realize that the Mizbeach's abilities to save, Koilet, to save, is only with regard to a kohen who's doing the avodas beis hamikdash, namely sacrificing a korban and offering it up. However, Yoav was a zar; he was a non-kohen, and he wasn't in the middle of any beis hamikdash avoda. Obviously, only kohanim are fit for that. And therefore, Abaye just wants to include a third mistake in his attempt to save himself in erroneously. Amar Reish Lakish, Shalosh Toyos Osit Sar Shalromi Litois. The Sar Shalromi, we mentioned before, the angel in charge of Rome, will in the future make three mistakes. Dichtiv, Mi Ze Bo Me Edoim Chomutz Begada Mi Botra. That's a pasuk referring to the blood-stained garments of the angel of Rome coming from Botra, after he conquers other nations and is on his way to conquer Yerushalayim. So this particular Sar Shalromi made a few mistakes in trying to save himself. Toya she'eno koletes ela betzer v'hu gola l'Botra. We saw in the Mishnah that there were six Ori Miklat, and one of them was Betzer, and he ran to Botra thinking to save himself there. Toya she'eno koletes ela shoyeg v'hu mezid hoya. Another mistake he made is that it's kolet only someone who killed inadvertently, and he was a premeditated murderer. Toya she'eno koletes ela odom v'hu malachu. He also made a mistake thinking that klita applies to all things, including angels, and that's not true. It's kolate, it saves, it protects only a human being. Amar Rabbi Avo, Ore Miklat lo nitnu l'kvura. Rashi says, l'lavim shehen shavahem. The cities of refuge were cities that were given to the Levium. So Levium, even though they are the owners of these cities, they cannot be buried in them. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Umigrishem hayu levehemtan uleruchusham ulechol chayasam." And we explain, we darshan lechayim nitnu velo lekvura. They were given for life and not for burial. Meisvei, but we have a source that says shama. That's from the pasuk. Sham tehe dirasoi. There the rotsech shall live. Sham tehe misaso. There he shall die. Sham tehe kvuraso. And we see that there's emphasis on the expression kvuraso, that he is buried there in the city of refuge. So how is it you claim that the city of refuge is not given for kvura? So the Gemara says rotsech shaini. The case of the murderer is different. The goli bei rachmana, because there's a formal revelation regarding the burial of the rotsach over there. But that doesn't counter Rabbi Avo's original comment that orei miklat are not nitnu the kvura for the levium who happen to live there. Kishem shiur koletes. The topic we're dealing with is this very point, and we've written on the side, Tchum shel ir miklat, the surrounding area around the ir miklat. Generally speaking, a tchum has a shear of 2,000 amas, so we can speak about a belt of 2,000 amas around the ir miklat. So our Mishnah said that the tchum is kolate, offers protection to the Rotsach b'shogeg. V'raminu, we now raise a contradiction. The Yoshav Ba, the pasuk says that he shall dwell in the city. The Rotsach b'shogeg shall dwell in the city of refuge, and we infer Ba v'lo b'tchuma, in it proper, not in the surrounding area. Amar Abaye lo kasha. Abaye offers a resolution. Kan l'kloit, kan l'odur. As far as the ability to protect liklo, that would be what our Mishnah said. Our kach tchuma kolet. But as far as establishing residence is concerned, that is not to be done in the tchum. The Gemara asks, as far as the iser of establishing a residence in the tchum, I don't need the posuk of ba for that. Lodur, as far as dwelling, tepukle, you can derive it, you can learn it out from another source. The ein oisin sode migrosh velo migrosh sode velo migrosh ir velo ir migrosh. That with regard to the cities of Levium, which includes all of the Ore Miklat, there's a rule. One is not allowed to convert the fields around the city into a migrosh. Migrosh is an open area that's left open without building, without cultivation. Velo migrosh sada, and likewise one cannot convert a migrosh into a cultivated area. These are the areas that are given to the Orei Levia that surround them. It's the 2,000 amas around the cities. And furthermore, lo migrosh ir velo ir migrosh. One is not allowed to convert a migrosh into a city. And that would be the problem over here. So based on this, that one cannot convert migrosh into a sit into an ear, that would preclude the rotsach b'shogeg from dwelling in the tchum. So from this source, we would be able to determine that which Abaye claimed. I don't need the source that says v'yoshav bo for that. Omer Rav Sheshis lo nitzrocho elo l'mechilos. Says Rav Sheshis explains, I do need the ba source. The pasuk that said v'yoshav ba is needed to tell me that he is to dwell in this city and not in the tchum when we're talking about mechilos, tunnels. In other words, you can have a situation, and let us take a look at Rashi l'mechilos tachas hakarka she'ein oichlois b'migrosh klum milamala. We're talking about tunnels under the ground that don't take up any surface area. The ilav dichtiv ba velo b'tchuma. If the pasuk had not said that drasha, hoyisi omer, I would have thought yodur b'tchuma b'ma'ora, that one could live in the tchum of the ir miklat, namely not in the city proper, but in the surrounding area, provided it was underground, it was subterranean. That's what mechilos means. So comes along v'yoshav ba to tell me that he is not to dwell there either. The rotsach b'shogeg is not to dwell in a in a subterranean cavern that's in the tchum of the Ir Miklat. Rotzeach shiyotza chutz l'tchum v'chulei. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a source, and before we read the source, we can take note of our topic heading. We've called it simply Goyel Hadam, the Avenger. Tanu Rabbanan. V'rotzach Goyel Hadam esa rotzeach. In this source, we have a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva, whose names you can see are underlined. What level of urgency is there with regard to the Goyel Hadam, the avenger, and his killing the Rotzach, the murderer? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili opens up this source as the first opinion. He says, Mitzvah biyad Goyel Hadam, based on this pasuk that says, V'rotzach Goyel Hadam as a Rotzach, that it's a mitzvah upon the Goyel Hadam. Ein Goyel Hadam, then Rishus biyad Kol Adam. If it's a situation where there is no avenger, then there is an option in the hands of anybody. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus biyad Goyel Hadam. Rabbi Akiva says, he goes down a notch, and he says, as far as the avenger is concerned, it's a matter of option, not a matter of a mitzvah. The Kol Adam Ein Chayovin Alav. Notice how we've read with the Groz insertion. He says, as far as others that would kill him, if they kill the Rotzech, they are not going to be guilty of a capital offense. That's according to the Groz reading of the Gemara. My time of the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What's the basis for Rabbi Yossi Aglili that claims that it's a mitzvah on the part of the Goyel Hadam to execute the murderer? Miksiv Im Rotzach, does the Pasuk use the expression Im Rotzach? It doesn't say that. The Pasuk says V'rotzach Goyel Hadam, indicating V'rotzach is more forceful, whereas he shall kill the Rotzach. Rabbi Kiva, his response to that is Miksiv Yirtzach. Does the Torah phrase itself like that? Does it say Yirtzach? It doesn't say that. Hence, Rabbi Kiva understands that V'rotzach means option. Omar Marzutra Baratuvio, Omar Rav, Rotzeach, Shiyotza, Chuslutchum, Umotzu Goyel Hadam, Vaharago. A Rotzeach that left the Tchum of the Ir Miklat, and he was found by an avenger, and the avenger kills the Rotzeach. Neharag Olof. According to Rav, the avenger is guilty of a capital offense. Now we saw a couple sources regarding the Goyel Hadam who kills the Rotzeach, but we didn't see an opinion like this that said if the Goyel Hadam kills him, that Neharag Olof. So the Gemara asks, Keman lo k'Rav Yossi Aglili v'lo k'Rav Akiva. This opinion of Rav doesn't seem to conform to either one of those other opinions. The Gemara answers, Hu the Amar ki haitana. Rav is based on the following Tanaic source, Desanya, Rabbi Elezer Omer. The Pasuk says, V'lo yomus harotzeach ad omdoi lifnei ha'eda l'mishpat. Ma Talmud Lomar. Lefi Shenemar, V'rotzach Goyel Hadam es harotzeach. Since there's another pasuk that says that Yochol Mihad, is the Goyel Hadam expected to act immediately? Talmud Lomar, Ad Omdo Lefnei Ho'ido LaMishpat. The Goyel Hadam is expected to kill after the Gemar Din. That idea would be serve as the basis for Rav Shita that says that the Goyel Hadam who kills the Rotzeach prematurely, he could be subject to a death penalty himself. And that's what this source says, that the Rotzeach shall not die ad omdo lifnei ha'eda l'mishpat. And that will be the warning against the Goyel Hadam from killing the Rotzach prematurely. For Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Akiva, Hai Adamdu Lifneo Edel Mishpat Mai Darshi Bei. What do those Tanoim who said that if the Goel Adam kills the Rotzeach, he himself is not guilty of a capital offense, what do they do with this source, with this pasuk that said Adamdu Lifneo Mishpat? The Gemara answers, Hahu Miboya Le, they, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva, will use this pasuk L'chidisanya for the following teaching. This is another Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayim L'Sanhedrin Shero Echot Shehargas Anefesh, She'ein Memisin Oisoi At Shiyamoi Bebeizdin Achir. From where do we know that if a Sanhedrin saw a murder take place, that they do not execute him until he stands in the presence of another Beis Din? Talmud Lomar Ad Omdoi Lefneo Edel Mishpat, which means Ad Shiyamoid BeBeis Din Achir, until he, the murderer who was seen by a Sanhedrin, until he stands in front of another court. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source. We'll note that the Tanaic source is labeled as Roman numeral number 1. Im yotso yetse harotzeach, ein li elo b'mezid, b'shogeg minayim. Talmud lomar, im yotso yetse mikomakom. The pasuk describes a Rotzeach leaving the Ir Miklat. If he leaves the Ir Miklat, he thereby subjects himself to being killed by the Goyal Hadam, by the Avenger. What are the circumstances of his leaving the Ir Miklat? Well, according to the first source, it doesn't matter. Even if he leaves it inadvertently, the same halacha will apply. This is based on a pasuk that one sees in Bamidbar, Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chof Dalet. There, the Pasuk says, let's correct ourselves, it's Pasuk Chof Vov. Once again, Bamidbar, Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chof Vov. V'im yotso yetzei harotzeach es gvul ir miklato asher yonis shama. Pasuk Chof Zayin goes on to say, U'motza oisa geol hadam ichutz ligvul ir miklato, and the avenger finds him outside the borders of the city. V'rotzach geol hadam es harotzeach ein lo dam. And the avenger, if he kills the murderer, he is not guilty. So according to the first source, it doesn't matter what the circumstances of the geol of the rotzeach's departure from the Ir Miklat was, even if it's inadvertent. The Gemara asks, V'hatanya, we have another source that says, B'mezid neherag, if he leaves with knowledge, so that's when he is subject to being killed. B'shogeg goyle, if however he leaves inadvertently, and the Goyal Adam would kill him, then the Goyal Adam will have to go to exile. So this second source makes a distinction between the departure b'mezid versus shogeg, where the first source made no distinction. Lo kashya, there is no contradiction. It represents, these two sources represent two different opinions. Ha keman domar, the second source that makes a distinction, follows the opinion that says amrinon dibro Torah keloshon b'nei adam, that double expressions in the Torah are forms of the Torah speaking in common human speech. In other words, people often in their common speech double expressions for emphasis purposes. But there's no deep intention on the part of the Torah by its doubled expression to reveal a new point of law. Hence, only b'mezid, if the murderer leaves with intent, is he subject to being killed by the Goel Hadam. However, the first source, Ha Kemando Omar, the first source that felt that the double expression serves to include a shogeg departure, that follows the opinion that says loy amrinon dibro Torah koloshen bnei adam, that we don't say the Torah adopts common forms of speech, but rather if the Torah doubled an expression, there is something to be darshened, something to be revealed from that, and that's what we saw in the first source that felt that the doubling of the expression was to include the case of shogeg. Omar Abai mistabro kemanta omar dibro Torah koloshen bnei adam. It's most likely like the opinion that says that the Torah does adopt common speech. In other words, we will make a distinction between shogeg and mezid. Shelo yehei soifei chomur mitrivaso, that his end, the end of the rotzach, should not be any more restrictive or severe than how things happened in the beginning. Ma tchiloso, just like as far as the initial murder, what do we say? Bemezid ne'erag b'shogeg oleh. If he, the original murderer, committed the murder premeditated, then he is executed. If he committed it inadvertently, his goleh, he goes to exile. Af sofo, so to his end. Bemezid ne'erag, only if he leaves with intent, then he himself is subject to being killed by the Gol Adam. B'shogeg goleh, but if he leaves the Ir Miklat, if he leaves the city of refuge by mistake, inadvertently, then he who kills him, if the Gol Adam kills him, then he will be subject to Golus. The Gemara goes on with two Tanaic sources. We've labeled them as 1 and 2, and underlined Toni Chada, and the next line, Tanya Idoch. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Ha'av Shahorag, a father kills a son. Ha'im benoi nase geol hadam. Does the son, if let us say the man has a second son, does the second son, the brother of the deceased, become an avenger to kill the father, to kill his own father? So the Gemara continues. Toni chada av shahorag, a father that killed a son, benoi naase loy geol hadam. So his son becomes an avenger. V'tanya idoch, ein benoi naase loy geol hadam. According to the second source, a son does not become an avenger. As we continue in the Gemara, we're going to notice the use of a new marking, a house form, one of our series markings. On the side of the Gemara, we have an explanation, the Mivneh. And this represents Shlovim, the Yashev, Stira, Bein, Shnei, Brises, Be'inyan, Hanal. These are going to be stages in the Gemara in its attempt to resolve these two seemingly contradictory Tanaic sources. So the Gemara says, Lema ha Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Let source number one be Rabbi Yossi Haglili, author of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who said that there is a mitzvah on the part of the Goel Adam to kill the Rotzeach. And hence, source one says that a son becomes a Goel Adam, because becoming a Goel Adam, there's a mitzvah element. And the second source that says a son does not become a Goel Adam to kill his father, that would be according to Rabbi Kiva, whom we saw above, that says it's a rishus biad goel hadam. In order to make it easier to find where these names appear, we've included an arrow in the margin, in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and that would tell you to scan up the page to find a parallel arrow. And you'll notice it opposite the line in which the term mitzvah biad goel hadam was featured. And we saw after that was Rabbi Yossi Haglili. The Gemara says, v'tisbara. V'tisbara is an expression that serves to deflect whatever was said just before. It's begging the student to explain himself. Bein l'manda omar mitzvah, bein l'manda omar rishus, mi shori. Whether you hold that it's a mitzvah on the part of the avenger to kill the murderer, or it's a matter of mere option, who would ever say that it's mutter for a son to kill his father in that capacity? The Omar Rabba Baravuna, the Chaintona de Be'er Bishmoel, a Tanaic source which will show that a son cannot do this. For all court matters, a son cannot become a court emissary in order to issue lashings to his father. If an individual's father was found guilty of an offense that carried with it a penalty of lashing or a penalty of being excommunicated, klola literally means cursing, but in the case of the court's cursing, that would come in that would be found in the context of a court issuing a nidui, an excommunication. A son cannot do these acts against his father, even though it's court ordained. Chutz mi mesis, with the exception of a case where a person was guilty of trying to seduce others into idolatry. Shari Omra Torah, because with regard to mesis, the Torah makes a special provision, lo sachmo velo sechasa lov, have no mercy nor compassion for him. But that having been said, we see that a son cannot be a goyel, cannot be one to kill his father. Ela lokashya, notice how we've use the house marking again to indicate a second stage of answering. Lokashya. There's no contradiction in the original sources that we labeled 1 and 2. Ha bivnoi, v'ha biven bino. The numberings that we see here correspond to the sources that were numbered above. Source number 2 that said a son cannot be a goyel adam, that's referring to the actual son of the father that committed the murder. So if we use names, we would say Yankov had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. If Yankov killed Reuven, then Shimon cannot be the Goyel Hadam. V'ha b'ven b'no, the source one that says a father that killed a son can become a Goyel Hadam, it's not a reference to the son of the murderous father, it's the son of the deceased, namely the grandson, ben beno, the grandson of the murderous father. The grandson can become the goel adam to avenge the blood of his father by killing his grandfather. Mishnah. Iron shehu oimeid besoch hatchum v'noifoi its branches noite chutz l'tchum. We have a tree that's standing within the tchum, the boundaries, within the area surrounding an ir miklat. We mentioned above that the tchum of the ir miklat is kolet. Here we have a tree that's standing within the tchum, and its branches extend beyond the tchum. Oimeid chutz l'tchum v'noifoi noite besoich hatchum. We have another situation where the branches, where the trunk of the tree is outside the city boundaries, it's outside the tchum, and its branches are overshadowing, lean into the tchum. Hakol hoylech achar hanoif. The determination is based on where the branches are. Therefore, even if the ikur of the tree was in the tchum, but its branches are outside the tchum, that tree is not kolet. Taking a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, Hakol holech achar hanoif, afilu hu biikoroi shebesoch hatchum, if the murderer is at the trunk of the tree that's in the tchum, harehu kiyotze chutz l'tchum, it's viewed as if he's outside the tchum. V'imi koro chutz l'tchum v'noifoi besoich hatchum, and if the trunk of the tree was outside the tchum but the branches are within the tchum, af ha'ikur kolet, according to what Rashi's saying here, even the trunk of the tree that's technically speaking outside the tchum, he would be saved. V'rominhi, we have a new marking that appears, a triangle. This will be contrasted with a different type of triangle will appear later, triangles with colored in tips. to understand what the Gemara is going to do now, let's glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangles that we see here, one is over here, and the second one that appears a second line from the bottom, Stiros, they're contradictions. They introduce contradictions. Bain, number one, is Bain Ir Mikla, Umaisros, between two topics, one topic concerning Ir Miklat and a second topic concerning Maiser Sheni. The rule concerning Maiser Sheni is that during the 7-year Shemitah cycle, during the first, second, fourth, and fifth of those years, a person was expected to bring his produce to Yerushalayim and eat it there, a tenth of his produce, that is, Maiser, or redeem the fruits onto the holiness of those fruits, of the 10% of his fruits, and redeem it onto money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money there. That's called pidyon. Pidyon peros maiser sheni. So that's, we're going to see a contradiction between these two topics, one regarding Ir Miklat and the other topic, maisros. A second contradiction that we'll see later is bein maiser lemaiser. Im noif ho ilon kivea esdino o ikoro shela ilon. Do we base the halacha on the branches, on where they are located, or do we base the halacha on where the trunk is located? So we continue in the Gemara, Viramini. We introduce a source concerning Maiser Sheni. When we discuss Maiser Sheni, we bear in mind two aspects. One is the issue concerning redemption. Redemption, for your information, takes place only when the fruit is outside of Yerushalayim. As long as the fruit is outside of Yerushalayim, there's a redemption option. However, Maiser Sheni fruit, that is, Maiser Sheni produce that is brought into the walls of Yerushalayim, one can no longer redeem it, but one must eat those very elements or items of the produce. The second aspect is achila. As far as achila of the actual Maiser Sheni produce is concerned, the opposite applies. When one is outside Yerushalayim, one is not allowed to eat the actual produce. Only when one is in Yerushalayim, in the walls of Yerushalayim, only then is one allowed to eat the actual produce. Therefore, if someone is for some reason wants to eat the fruit that he himself harvested, he's going to have to wait till he gets to Yerushalayim. Ilon, so the source concerning Maiser Sheni says, Ilon shehu oimed bifnim, v'noita lachutz. A tree whose trunk is in Yerushalayim and its branches are facing outwards, or the trunk of the tree is outside Yerushalayim and its branch work is in Yerushalayim, fate is over Yerushalayim. It all depends on the wall. From the point of the wall inwards, it's judged as within. From the point of the wall outwards, it's judged as outside. This then shows that the nof is not a determining factor, unlike the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that halachas and location are determined by the branches. So the Gemara says there's no question in the first place. Maiser Aore Miklod Koramis, you're raising a contradiction from the topic of Miser to the topic of Ir Miklod. Miser Bechoyma Tola Rachmona. The halachas concerning Miser Sheni are dependent on the wall. The wall is the determining factor. Aore Miklod Bedira Tola Rachmona. Benoifoi Misdarle, Beikarolo Misdarle. The dinim, the halachas concerning Ir Miklat, are halachas concerning dwelling. People will dwell, people will live under branches. So that's what the Gemara here is saying, benofo misdarle, misdar from the word diur, or dar, live. Under branches of trees, people live. At the trunk of trees, people do not live. Hence, in order to determine location based on a tree, one looks at the branches. Where the branches are, that determines the halacha with regard to the rest of the tree. That's in the case of Ir Miklat. Hence, if the branch work is outside the ear miklat, even though the trunk is in the ear miklat, the tree is considered, including the trunk, is considered halachically outside of the ear miklat. The Romi Meiser Ameiser. Now the Gemara proposes a stira contradiction within the topic of Meisers. So one has to bear in mind as we go along in the Gemara, we're departing for a little while the context of Rotzeach B'Shogeg and focusing on Meiser Sheni. Desanya, we have a source in the case of Meiser Sheni. B'Yerushalayim. B'Yerushalayim means with regard to Meiser Sheni. Haloch Achar Hanof. Follow the branches. The branches determine the location with the legal bearing on is there still an redemption option? Can I eat it yet? So when it comes to Meiser Sheni, you determine things based on the branches. Notice how we've added the lo choma, so that Meiser Sheni, unlike that which we said before, we claimed before that with regard to Meiser Sheni, things were determined by the wall. Here it says, not by the wall, but rather where the branches are. Be'orei miklot, haloch achar hanof. However, with regard to cities of refuge and their ability to protect the rotzeach, there you follow the branches. Where the branches are located determines the halachic standing with regard to the rest of the tree. So we have a contradiction within the realm of Meiser. The first source said that Meiser is totally on the wall. The second source indicated Meiser is totally on where the branches are. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form, a triangle with a colored-in tip. This is designed to highlight the answers. Answers to questions in this realm. We'll see as we go along in the Gemara, the shittas that are offering answers are offering answers to different aspects of the discussion that follows. But we've chosen to highlight them in general as those providing answers to questions that are raised. So, Omar Rav Kahana, Lo Kashya, Ha Rabbi Yehuda V'Ha Rabbanan. We had a source that said, with regard to Yerushalayim, follow the branches. So that source at this point is being labeled as Shayach to Rabbi Yehuda. And the source before that said by Meiser Sheni is totally on the wall. Are you inside or outside, depending on are you within the walls or outside the walls? That is according to the Rabbanan. So there isn't a contradiction in sources, but rather they are reflecting two different Tanaic opinions. Disanya, we have a source in which Rabbi Yehuda is featured. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'me'ora. Me'ora is also a case concerning Meiser Sheni. If there's a subterranean opening, cave, if you will, that is located adjacent to Yerushalayim. Haloch holech achar pischa. Determine the status of the me'ora by where the entrance to it is located. Therefore, if the entrance is located in Yerushalayim, even though the space that forms the cave is located underground outside Yerushalayim, under the ground that's outside Yerushalayim, it's still considered part of Yerushalayim because this source, Rabbi Yehuda, is saying, follow the opening. The Ilon Holech Achar Noifoi. So here we have Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that says, with regard to trees, one follows the branches. The Gemara now raises a question. The Gemara with the markings, you can see, suggests that we're going to encounter now a long question. This starts from the second line from the top. You can see a kuf that's encircled in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of question material. The Gemara says, Amor the Shamis lay the Rabbi Yehuda Gabi Meiser L'chumra. In order for us to establish the source that said Yerushalayim Haloch Achar Hanof, that is fine with regard to Meisers, because by saying follow the Nof, we're going to result in a Chumrah, which is stringency. The Gemara will explain that. So that when dealing with a legal conclusion, that's result is one of a stringent nature, it's easier for us to accept that. However, if you're going to say follow the Nof with regard to Ir Miklat, which is the Seifa of that source that we called Yerushalayim Halacha Haranof, this will be a problem to find how that results in a Chumrah. So once again, by designing a source and saying it results in a Chumrah, it results in a stringency, this is acceptable. We can explain the source with stringent conclusions. But to suggest that the source is leading to a conclusion of leniency, this is not necessarily going to be the approach taken by Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara goes on with this question. Amor d'shamas l'Rabbi Yehuda gabi meiser l'chumra. I can appreciate Rabbi Yehuda saying haloch achar hanof in the context of the beginning of the source when dealing with meiser. What we've done with the markings here, we've highlighted with a diamond the expressions meiser and orei miklat. These are the two topics that are featured in that particular source that began with the expression b'Yerushalayim. So I can understand Rabbi Yehuda would say halocha achar hanof with regard to meiser l'chumra, and the Gemara explains itself. Given a case of ikoro b'chutz, where the trunk of the tree is outside Yerushalayim, v'noifoi b'fnim, and the branches are inside Yerushalayim, and now I say, follow the branches. So we said the branches are inside Yerushalayim. Ki hechi debenoifei lo motzi porek. Just like if he's standing under the branches, which are bifnim, he would not be able to redeem those fruits because they're already within. Bi'ikoro nami, if he's standing at the trunk. Now where's the trunk situated? Outside Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, lo motzi porek. He will not be able to redeem, because we're saying follow the branches l'chumra, and just like the branches in this case he cannot redeem, we will impose this restriction with regard to someone standing at the trunk of the tree, which is currently outside Yerushalayim. Ikoro, another case, ikoro mibifnim v'nofo mibachutz, a case where the tree trunk is in Yerushalayim and the branches are outside. Now, what do we know about branches outside of Yerushalayim? What do we know specifically about being outside Yerushalayim? We know one cannot eat the actual Meiser Sheni produce outside Yerushalayim. Ki hechi debenoifo lo motzi ochel below pidia. Just like under the branches, which are clearly outside the city, he cannot, outside Yerushalayim, he cannot eat the fruits without redeeming them first. Bi'ikaro nami, the ikar, the trunk of the tree, which in this case is inside Yerushalayim, if someone is positioned by the trunk, nami lo motzi ochil below pediyah, he won't be able to eat the fruits unless they would be redeemed. And why is that? Because even though he's standing by the trunk which is in Yerushalayim, the branches are outside Yerushalayim, and that which is outside Yerushalayim cannot be eaten directly, it must be redeemed. So that's fine as far as explaining the source that says, with regard to Meiser Sheni, follow the branches. Because by following the branches, in each case will result in a chumran, a restriction. Elagabi ore miklat, but with regard to the cities of refuge, let's point out before we go further, the restriction, the chumrah, with regard to Ir Miklat will be that we restrict the avenger from carrying out his revenge. So by restricting him, that's going to be viewed as a chumrah. So with regard to Ir Miklat, Bishlamah Ikaro Bachutz V'nofo Bifnim, given that situation where the trunk is outside the ear miklat and the branch work is in the ear miklat, we would say the following chumro, ki hechi de benofo, which is inside the ear miklat, lo motzi kotil, lay, if you have the murderer standing under the branch work that's in the city, so we say as follows, just like under the branches the murderer cannot be killed, bi'ikaro nami lo motzi kotil lay, if the murderer is standing at the trunk, even though it's technically speaking outside the tchum, nevertheless it's the trunk that's part of a tree whose branches are within the tchum, and as such if the murderer is standing at the trunk of this tree, though it's physically outside the tchum of the ir miklat, lo motzi kotele, the goel adam cannot kill him, even though the murderer is standing at the trunk, which is outside. So in that case, ikoro b'chutz enofim b'fnim, and we tell you, follow the branches, results in a chumrah. Ela ikoro b'fnim v'enofim b'chutz, but with regard to a tree whose trunk is inside Yerushalayim, and the branch work is outside, are you going to say, to follow the branches, ki hechi de b'enofim motzi kotele, b'ikoro nami motzi kotele, v'ho gavoy koi? Would you suggest that just like under the branches, which is b'chutz, the goel adam would be able to kill him, if the murderer were standing by the ikur, by the trunk of this tree, are you going to say also the avenger can kill him? But ha'gavoy koi, he is inside the ir miklat. So we can't say some type of blanket rule to follow the nof. With that in mind, the source that we try to label as Rabbi Yehuda, namely the source that was found on Amud Aleph, that said, B'Yerushalayim halocha acharanof, and then it went on to say, B'ore miklat halocha acharanof, we explained that Yerushalayim halocha acharanof, you can follow the branches, l'chumra. But the case of Ore miklat, how is it that I'm going to follow the branches, resulting in a chumra, given the case of Ikaro Bifnim and Noifoi Bachutz? Omar Rabo. Rabo offers a resolution or an explanation to our problem. We've labeled him as number two. He's here to refine the answer that we saw before. It's actually pointed out by Rashi that Rava agrees with the answers we gave before, the answer we gave before of Ha Rebbe Yehuda V'Ha Rabbanan. Let's glance at the Rashi in the narrow section of Rashi toward the lower part. Omar Rava B'Koro Kuliyama Lo Pligi L'Oilom Kidekosh Mishaninan Ha Rebbe Yehuda V'Ha Rabbanan. Like we said before, that let us label the Yerushalayim source as Rabbi Yehuda and the other source as the Rabbanan. To the Rabbanan, lo shadinan, according to the Rabbanan that said, you with Meiser Sheni follow the wall. Lo shadinan, lo nof baser ikaro, lo ikaro baser nof. We don't say that the tree is determined by its branch work and say that the trunk follows the branch work, nor the other way around. So that's according to Rabbanan, v'loi ba'orei miklat, and likewise with orei miklat, kidekotani kamaisa mikeneged achim lefnim gelefnim. Everything is determined by the wall. That's the Rabbanan shita. V'Rabbi Yehuda, poleg v'omar, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on the following point: shadi ikaro baser nofo, that we do make the trunk follow the branches. And then you raise the question, maybe the whole concept of go boser nofo is to result in a restriction. So he says, ananami lechumra amrina law the inyan meiser kidamorin. We agree with that. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with that, that we try to say things that will result in a chumra. In other words, the answer we gave before, that you go boser the nof, as long as it results in a restriction, we will follow the nof. O the inyan mikla, Hecha di koro b'chutz v'nofa b'fnim, the chumrahu, in that case where the trunk is outside and the branch work is inside, that there is a chumrah by following the nof. The nof is where inside. We will say, shodi koro b'asur nofo, v'imrotzeach b'koro lo motzi kotelei. We say, follow the branches which are inside, and as long as the rotzeach is part of the tree, the rotzeach is at the trunk of the tree, even though technically it's outside, the goel adam will not be able to kill him, because he's standing by the trunk whose branches are in the ir miklat. V'heicha d'ikaro b'fnim v'nofa b'chutz, Rashi goes on to say, and where the trunk is inside the city and the branch work is outside, the ka'amar bo Rabbi Yehuda alocha achar hanof, Rabbi Yehuda says, follow the nof. Well, lav lemishdi ikaro b'asur nofo, not with the intention of saying, follow, let the trunk which is inside follow the nof, follow the branch work which is outside, ulameimar d'chiyechi d'benofo matzikotile v'ikaro nami matzikotil, and then say that just like under the branch work which is outside, the Goel Adam can kill the offender, the murderer b'shogeg, so too by the ikra which is inside, that's impossible. The be'ikaro shebefnim, that when you have a case where the trunk is inside, kule alma lo pligi de motzi kotil, everyone will agree that if the rotzeach is at the trunk which is inside, no one can kill him. Ve'echo de koi rotzeach b'nofa shebechutz, ve'echo go adam la'mod chutz l'tchum l'horgo b'chitzim v'sroz, and where you have a rotzeach standing under the branches that are outside, and the Goel Adam could stand further away and shoot arrows and kill him, everyone will agree he's allowed to. The l'kuli alma noif boser ikar lo shadin, and everyone agrees that we don't say that the noif follows the ikar, namely in the case where the nof is outside and the nof and the ikar is inside, no one's going to say that the nof follows the ikar and has a din of inside. Ki pligi, the case where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree, ki pligi will be, this is a case, the Komar Rabbi Yehuda haloch achar nof, where Rabbi Yehuda says his statement that you follow the branches. Bear in mind, we're dealing with a case of ikur b'fnim and nofo b'chutz. The ikur, the trunk, is inside. So Rabbi Yehuda says, haloch achar hanof, lemeheve ikoro dargu lenofo, where we would allow the trunk, which is inside, be a type of step where the Goel Adam could climb the tree trunk and use it as a shooting site to aim from there to get the Goel Adam. So with regard to that, Rabbi Yehuda says, Halocha achar hanof, Rashi explains, She koneis Goel Adam b'soch ha-tchum v'ale derech ha-ikr v'argenu b'nofo, where the Goel Adam would climb the trunk which is inside and kill the Goel Adam who is under the branches outside. V'chi hach kulo islay Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has this, he'll accept this leniency to allow the trunk, which is inside, to serve as a step to kill a murderer that is outside under the branches. Daha lav ikur shodi boser nof. This is not a case of saying the ikur follows the branch work. Elo kolchad kidekoi. Each one as regard to where it stands. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rabo, Biikoro Kule Almo Lo Pligi De Lo Motzi Kotil. If the murderer is standing at the trunk of the tree, which is, in this case, we have the Ikur Bifnim and the Nof Bachutz, everyone will agree, he cannot be killed. Koi Binofo, if the rotzeach is under the branches, v'yochol lohorgo b'chitzim b'sroz, or b'tzruos, the Goel Adam could shoot arrows and kill the rotzeach who's under the branches, which are outside, t'kuliyamo lo pligi de'motzi kotelei. Everyone will be in agreement that the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him. Ki pligi, the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, the meheve ikoro dargal enofo. Will we allow the trunk to serve as a step with regard to the branches? As we mentioned before, when we learned the Rashi, the branches are outside the city, under which is the goel hadam, is the murderer, and the trunk is inside the city. More sovar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, have ikoro dargal enofo. I will allow him to use the trunk as a step to get to the, to shoot the murderer, the rotzach that's under the nof. In other words, this kula, Rabbi Yehuda will accept. Umar savar, the Rabbanan will say, lo have ikoro dargal enofo. We don't allow the ikur serving as a step lenof. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi has a different approach. He says, as far as Shita's rebuke is concerned, everything is l'chumra. My achar hanof, what does the expression of achar hanof mean? Af achar hanof. Even to follow the branches. And therefore, if the ikur is bifnim, if the trunk is inside and the nof is outside, according to Rav Ashi, the Goel Hadam will not be able to kill the murderer that's under the nof, because that would not be a chumrah. So therefore, if the ikur is bifnim and the nof is outside, Rav Ashi will not allow the kula that Rabba suggested Rabbi Yehuda would allow. Let's take a look at Rashi, who refines this point. Rav Ashi Omar, my achar hanoif deko Omar, masnisin, dehocha, v'chein mishne be'orei mikla, af achar hanoif. Even under the branches, even there are cases that even that we will follow even the branches. Why this expression is used, af achar hanoif, Rashi points out a little bit later, because generally speaking, the nof follows the ikur. There are cases, though, that we will follow the branches. Rabbi Yehuda hi, the kulu l'chumra, Rashi goes on to say, everything here is l'chumra, ule inyan meiser kideshaninon, as with regard to meiser, this Ravashi accepts that which we said above. We mentioned that you follow the nof, the ikur will follow the nof, because by following nof, we can construct cases of restriction as we did at the upper part of the page. Ulinin miklot, af achar hanoif komar. With regard to the ir miklot, there are cases that we will follow even the nof. Tehecha, the ikoro b'chutz v'nofa b'fnim. The case where the trunk is outside and the nof is inside. Shodi ikoro b'ser nofa. We will say, let the trunk which is outside follow the status of the branches. L'chumra v'lo teimo k'dekoi koi. L'chumra being that the Goel Hadam would not be able to kill the Rotzeach that's standing by the Iker, because we're saying the Iker is determined by the branches which are inside, and hence he is considered saved. Reading that again, Shodi Ikoro Boser Nofo L'chumra V'lo Ikoro, that we allow the, we say follow the branches and not the ikur. The lo motzi kotil benofo, and he, the goel adam will not be able to kill the rotzeach who's under the nof. Umishum de bekule gemara shadina nof baser ikur, and since in general we say that the branches are determined by the trunk, that's why here it's of a novel nature to say in the miklat, with regard to the ir miklat, zinin de shadinon ikur boser nof l'chumra. Sometimes we follow sometimes we will say that the trunk follows the branches, provided it results in a restriction. Turning to the Mishnah, Horag ba'oiso ha'ir, if the rotzeach, who already was in a city of refuge, committed another murder, b'shogeg, in the ir miklat, gele mishchuna l'shchuna, he will remove himself from one shchuna, one neighborhood, to another neighborhood in that ir miklat. Uben Levi, let's say a Levi who is a regular resident of an ir miklat, and he happened to commit a murder, so gele mi'ir le'ir, he will go into exile from one city to another, he leaves his city. The topic heading that we see on the side of the Gemara, Rotzeach Shigola Le'ir Miklat, a Rotzeach that committed a murder, and he ran to a city of refuge, V'chozer V'horog B'shogeg V'osu'ir. And he then committed a second Rotzicha B'shogeg in that very city. Tanu Rabbanan, the source that the Gemara begins with, V'samti L'cha Mokoyim V'chulei. V'samti L'cha is explained B'chayecha. What is this a reference to? So Rashi explains the Kodesh Baruch Hu was guaranteeing Moshe Rabbeinu that he would be zoicha in this mishnah, in this mitzvah, while he was alive, to set aside three cities of refuge. Mokoyim, b'mekoyim ucha. That means, Rashi explains, that the Machna Levia, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, so that the Levi camp in the Midbar had the power of being collate. And just like the Leviah power had the ability to collate, to save people, so too the Ore Miklat would be given to the Leviim. Asher Yonus Shama, Malame Shehoyu Yisrael Maglin Bamidbar. This teaches us that there was this concept of going to exile in the Midbar, and just like we said a moment before, they would go, Rotzeach B'shogeg would go to the Machne Levia. Lehechon Maglin, unto where would they go? The Machne Levia, to the Levi camp. Mikan Omru, ben Levi Shehorag, Gula Miplach Leplach. From here we say that if a Levi himself committed a murder, he would go, he would exile from one region to another. V'im Gola Lepilchoi, Pilchoi Koilto. If he sought refuge in his own region, it will offer protection. Omer Rav Acho, Breder Rav Iko, my craw. The Gemara is asking, what is the pasuk that indicates that his own region will save him, will offer him refuge? And we saw something similar in the Mishnah, that a Ben Levi who commits a murder in his ir miklat, we saw in the reisha of that Mishnah that a person who was already sentenced to an ir miklat, he shall go from one shchuna to the next. So where do we see that someone's ir miklat is able to save him? Ki b'ir mikloto yeshev equals ir shekoltosu kvar, a city that already provided refuge to him. That very same city can continue to provide refuge, as we explained, that if he's a person that was already in the ir miklat, he has to remove himself from the place he originally settled to another section. And likewise, in the Brisa, we saw a Ben Levi that committed a murder, and if he happens to run to his own ir miklat that he was already living in, being that they were cities given to the Levium, it does serve to protect him. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.